Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International. You are listening to the Family Health Matters program. I'm your host, Sister Zainat. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Well, mashallah, it's wonderful to be back after a long, long break. But first, before I do anything, I'd like to thank Jazakallahu Khair to all the sisters and the brothers who stood in for all of my programs. I certainly appreciate it very much. Jazakallahu Khair once again. And I'm sure even you have enjoyed and of course also gained a wealth of experience being here in our studios and doing some of our programs. I'm sure you must have enjoyed it just as much as we enjoy coming out there and doing our programs all the time. But once again, Jazakallahu Khair to all the sisters. I think it was Fatima Mullah that was doing most of the programs for me. Jazakallahu Khair, and also all the brothers that stood in for us. Well, I thought I'll just keep it a bit light today since it's my first program for this year, 2016. So to just give you an insight as to what to expect for the duration of this program, inshallah. First up, yes, I thought I'm going to share this with you. I hope, well, it's kind of inspiring me. So I thought maybe it'll inspire our listeners out there as well. It's an inspirational story. And being the first of the month, first month of the year, of course, 2016, just after the holidays, you know, we're all trying to get back into the groove of things. Our children are back at school today, alhamdulillah. Many of us have very many plans for this year, alhamdulillah. Many people have made new resolutions also. Now, maybe, this story will inspire all our listeners today, inshallah. Okay, so it's a lovely story. I thought I'll just share it with our listeners, inshallah. And then that will be followed by playing it safe in the sun for our little babies especially. And I'll be sharing with you some safety tips and common summertime injuries. You know, especially now that the holidays are over, something that we need to remember is that the holidays are over, but summer definitely is not over. So we need to take care, cognizance of that as well. And inshallah, in the last segment of the program, it's back to school. Yes, we know all our children are back to school in madrasa. And yes, I just want to share with you some, you know, tips for safety and health, inshallah, for our kids at school. So basically, that's what you can look forward to in the next hour. Yes, now I'm going to start off with our program, alhamdulillah, and the story that I want to read with, for you and share with you, and I hope it will inspire you, and it's something that will make you think, hopefully. It's all about this. Okay, so here it goes. It says, once upon a time, in a faraway land, there lived a Chinese wise man and his disciple. One day, in their travels, they saw a hut in the distance, and as they approached, they realized that it was occupied in spite of its extremely poor appearance. Now, in that desolate place, where there were no crops and no trees, a man lived with his wife, three young children, and a thin cow, a very tired-looking cow. And since they were very hungry and thirsty, the wise man and his disciples stopped for a few hours, and they were well received, alhamdulillah. Now, at one point, the wise man asked, "This is a very poor place, far away from anything. How do you survive?" "You see that cow? That's what keeps us going," said the head of the family. "She gives us milk. Some of it we drink, and some, you know, we make up into cheese. Then there is, when there is extra, we go into the city and we exchange the milk and the cheese for other types of food. And that's how we survive." The wise man thanked them for their hospitality and, of course, left. And when he reached the first bend in the road, he said to his disciple, "Please go back, get the cow, take her to the cliff in front of us and push her off." Well, the disciple could not believe what he was hearing. I cannot do that, Master. How can you be so ungrateful? The cow is all they have. If I throw it off the cliff, they'll have no way to survive. Without the cow, they'll all die. Well, the wise man, an elderly Chinese man, took a deep breath and he repeated the order. He said, "Go ahead, push the cow off the cliff." Though outraged at what he was being asked to do, the student was resigned to obey his master. He returned to the hut and he quietly led the animal to the edge of the cliff and he pushed the cow down. Obviously, the cow died. As the years passed, remorse for what he had done never left the disciple. So one spring day, the guilt became too much to bear and he left the wise man and he returned to the little shack. He wanted to find out what had happened to that family to help them out, apologize, or somehow make amends. On nearing, upon rounding a turn in the road, he could not believe what his eyes were showing him. In place of the poor shack, there was a beautiful house with trees all around a swimming pool, several cars in the garage, a satellite dish, and everything that goes with it. Three good-looking teenagers and their parents were celebrating their first $1 million. The heart of the disciple froze. What could have happened to the family? Without a doubt, they must have been starved to death and forced to sell their land and perhaps leave. At that moment, the student thought they must all be begging on the street corners of some city. He approached the house and he asked the man that was passing by about the whereabouts of the family that had lived there several years before. "You're looking at it," said the man, pointing to the people gathered around the barbecue. Unable to believe what he was hearing, the disciple walked through the gate and he took a few steps closer to the pool where he recognized the man from several years before. Only now he was strong and confident. The woman was happy and the children were now nice-looking teenagers. He was dumbfounded and he went over to the man and he asked, "What happened? I was here with my teacher a few years ago and this was a miserable place. There was nothing. What did you do to improve your lives in such a short time?" Well, the man looked at the disciple and he replied with a smile, "We had a cow that kept us alive. She was all we had, but one day she fell down a cliff and died. To survive, we had to start doing other things, develop skills we didn't even know we had. And so, because we were forced to come up with new ways of doing things, we are now much, much better off than before." Alhamdulillah. Well, listeners, the moral of the story, sometimes our dependency on something small and limited is the biggest obstacle to our growth. Perhaps the best thing that could happen to you is to push your cow down the cliff. Once you free yourself of the thought, it's little but it's certain, or of that idea that I'm not going, I'm not doing great, but there are people who are much worse off than me, of course, your life will really change. Now, if we think of ourselves, we sometimes are of the perception that, we're happy with what we have, we're happy the way we are living, we're happy the way things are going right now, we don't have to have more, we don't have to do more things, we don't have to improve ourselves. We never want to want to improve our lifestyles. We don't want to do more. We don't want to venture, and try new things for ourselves. And, if this happens, then obviously we can just stay where we are in life. But it's so important for us, alhamdulillah, that we free ourselves of this kinds of thoughts, and then inshallah we can actually better ourselves in life in every other way. I mean, we don't only have to make more money to be happy, but we can do things to better our lives, better the lives of other people around us. Yes, sometimes we may fail, you know, we may not always get what we plan or we want to do in our lives. But if we fail, then what is failure really? Failure is just a stepping stone to success. So to all our listeners out there, you know, it's something that we should think about. You know, it's we just need to think. If perhaps we or there is a cow in your life that is keeping you miserable, that is keeping you back, think about it when you make your New Year resolution. So, yeah, this is just a thought. I thought I'd share with our listeners out there. You know, you'll be surprised. Sometimes we think we can't do things. Sometimes we think we don't have the skills. But it's amazing when you just put your mind to it that you know, you even surprise yourself. You don't believe that you can actually do the things that you plan to set out to do. So you don't even know sometimes that you have these talents or you have these skills. So don't sit back and just procrastinate. Look forward to doing new things, inshallah, in life. Right, we're going to take a short break, inshallah. When we return, we'll be playing it safe in the sun for our babies. Stay tuned, we'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program Family Health Matters. I'm your host, Sister Zenith, and in this slot, the health slot, we're going to be looking at playing it safe in the sun. Now, and we're looking at our babies in particular, our little ones especially. We all know the dangers of the sun, but our baby's sensitive skins is, you know, much more susceptible to its rays and needs special care and attention. Now, I know during the holidays, we take extra special care because we are outdoors most of the time. Most of the families, you know, we're all together and we spend a lot of time outdoors, and we make sure that we have our sunblock and sunscreen and you name it, we have it with us, and we make sure that our children, you know, their skin is protected. Ourselves, we even protect our own skin. And especially this year, alhamdulillah, oh, mashallah, you know, it was really, really very hot. And people were even, advised to make sure that they stay hydrated and, you know, use their sunscreens and their sunblocks all the time. It was, and try and spend lesser time outside than, you know, in the outdoors, and try and spend more time indoors or in the shade. Well, we know how severe the sun was this holidays. And where our little babies are concerned, we need to worry about them extra, because right now we obviously back to into, you know, in our offices, back to work. Most people are back at work, so we're sitting, most of us adults will be sitting behind their desk. You know, the children will be going back to school. We as mothers that are not really working will be at home. We have our domestics back again, alhamdulillah. Our caregivers are back again. You know, and this causes us to become a little bit lax, I think. So we tend to, you know, want to just give over all the work to the people that have now come back, our domestics. Oh, we need to take a break now. Please take over. That's how we feel. But now where our babies are concerned, they are with us all the time. They're not at school yet. And obviously they're going to be running around outside of the house. And they too really need to be taken care of, especially their skin. Now, baby's skin is particularly thinner than that of an adult. And this makes your baby vulnerable to sunburn. Now, I'm sure many people out there know what the sunburn is all about, especially now. Wherever you see, you know, everybody's so tanned and, you know, they look so burnt, really, brown, lovely tan. We all think it's lovely to have a nice tan, but listen to this. This makes your baby obviously vulnerable to sunburn with long-lasting effects. So sunburn actually can have long-lasting effects. According to the Cancer Association of South Africa, that's CANSA, almost 20,000 new cases of skin cancer are diagnosed each year. These are completely avoidable. These are things that can be avoided though. Too much sunlight in the early years of life results in an increased development of skin cancer. So it's important for us to look after our baby's skin now. So really, we should be very careful where our babies are concerned. Make sure that they are always, their bodies are well covered. And of course, they must, put on enough sunblock on them. Well, actually, this is very scary, the fact that you consider that about 80% of your baby's exposure to sunlight will occur in her youth. Can you believe it, that most of the sun that they get happens in their youth? Now, what is sunburn really? Sunburn is what happens when the skin is overexposed to the sun's ultraviolet rays, and the skin was... You know, the skin actually has a built-in protection in the form of melanin. It's a pigment that is released according to the sun exposure. And it also forms part of your baby's natural skin tone. Now, when your baby's skin is exposed to the sunlight, melanin production is stimulated. And this results in a tan, which is the body's way of trying to protect itself from any more sun damage. Now, this works for adults as well. This is the same thing that happens to us as well. Now, if the skin is overexposed, it gets burned. And this means that the UV rays of the sun have penetrated not only the top layer of the skin, but also the lower layers. And this is actually bad when this happens. And, you know, many a times when we have a sunburn, we know how it feels, because the skin color changes, it gets darker, and then you know that you are actually sunburned. Now, the sun emits a broad spectrum of radiation that includes harmless visible light as well as ultraviolet radiation. The bands of wavelengths that damage human skin are categorized as the UVA and the UVB. So that's what we always hear, the UVA and the UVB. The UVB rays are the main cause of the skin turning red or exhibiting a sunburn. So that causes the sunburn. They can fracture the skin, or rather the DNA in the skin cells, resulting in mutations. UVA rays penetrate deeper into the skin and are the main cause of wrinkling and discoloration. So if you want to know why you are wrinkling so, at such a young age, then perhaps you should think about how much of time you spent in the sun. They cause the formation of damaging atoms called free radicals and can inhibit the immune system from doing its job to prevent cancer. It is important to protect the skin from both the UVA and the UVB rays. Now, did you know it takes only about 10 minutes of exposure to cause sunburn in babies, and just one bad burn doubles your baby's chances of getting skin cancer later on in life? So just 10 minutes of exposure in the sun where babies are concerned. Remember, their skin is so much more thinner than that of an adult. So 10 minutes in the sun can cause so much of damage, and then later can cause even bigger damage where they can actually get skin cancer. Now, I'm going to share with you some sun safety tips that can save your baby's life. Okay? I know the holidays are over, but it doesn't mean summer is over, and it doesn't mean that the sun is not there and those rays are not there. First of all, we need protective clothing. Okay? We'll take a short break. When we return, we'll look at some of these safety tips. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Family Health.
Matters. I'm your host, Sister Zenith.
Well, we're now looking at some sun safety tips. And the first thing that we're looking at is our clothing, and we need some kind of protective clothing. The first line of protection against sunburn, like I said, is your clothing. We should make sure that our baby's face and body are covered by their clothes. Now that it's not, at least that it's so hot out there, we need to use lightweight, natural fabrics such as cotton, and we should always remember their broad-rimmed hats. So it's not only covering the, the body itself, you need to cover their face as well. And it's important for them to wear, you know, those little broad-brimmed hats. Very important. I know children don't always like these hats, but it's something that we need to get them used to, because, you know, it can save their lives. Now, when they're in the water or perhaps on the beach, you use swimwear that's made from UV protective fabric. It's called a UV protective fabric, and a great product available in South Africa, created especially for babies and children, is Second Skins. It's called Second Skins. One can always find out. I think a good place to also find out about the Second Skins is to phone any of the cancer offices. They'll be able to give you more information with regards to that. Okay, so it's called Second Skins, and these products are approved by cancer, and they carry a protection factor of about 50. Well, that's where your clothing is concerned. Then you need to stay in the shade. That's a very important safety tip as well. While the shade doesn't provide 100% coverage from UV rays, it's important to keep your baby out of direct sunlight. Also, you need to keep them away from reflective radiation in mind, or you have to keep that in mind. Now, what that is this way is when the surfaces, such as if perhaps you are on the beach sand, the concrete or the tiles around the pools, and the glass reflect the sun's UV rays up from the surface onto your skin. So all those, it may be hitting onto the sun ray. You may be sitting in the shade, but those sun rays are obviously, goes directly onto the sand, and that reflects back onto you if you are sitting, even you may be sitting in the shade, but it can actually reflect back. Sitting at the poolside, the same thing. You may be walking on the pavement. All these, the rays reflect back onto you, so you need to be careful of that. Even grass is reflective, so you need to be aware. And you need to go, don't go out in the sun with your baby between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. when the sun's rays are most potent. So those are the times that one should rather avoid being in the sun, between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. I know there's a bit of, some people would say, okay, at maybe 11:30 or 3 o'clock or things like, they have their different little times, but these are the most important times, between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. Then the other safety tip is sunscreen. Even with protective clothing, your baby's skin isn't completely shielded from the sun's UV rays. I think this is something we need to remember, because what we tend to do is we'll use, put the sunscreen or sunblock on the areas that are exposed. But remember, they're not completely shielded from, your skin is not completely shielded from these protective clothing as well. Always apply sunscreen to your baby's skin before you dress her. So, instead of putting that, you put your moisturizer and things like that, but also put the sunscreen. Use a broad spectrum sunscreen, one that protects your baby from both UVA and UVB rays and has an SPF of between 20 and 50. Please read your labels or ask and find out what kind of sunscreen you should actually get. It's important to apply enough sunscreen in order for it to work properly. So to reach the advertised SPF, that is the sun protective factor, you should apply about a quarter teaspoon of sunscreen to your baby's face. A quarter teaspoon of sunscreen to your baby's face and neck areas. That's the face and neck area, should be about a quarter teaspoon. And then a half teaspoon per arm and hand. A half teaspoon per arm and hand. And 1 teaspoon to her back. 1 teaspoon to her back. And 3/4 teaspoon to her leg and her foot. Or for your little boy as well. And they say spray on sunscreens are particularly subject to overdosing. So I prefer, it's even better than just to, you know, make sure that you apply the sunscreen to them, to their bodies completely. You know, one area that we sometimes tend to forget is behind the neck. Please remember to always put some sunscreen there too, around the ears. And if children don't have very, you know, a lot of hair, then on the head as well. So and this must be done every day. And even if your child is sitting in the shade or even if it is a cloudy day, absolutely important to remember that. Right, now we go on to some common summertime injuries. Now, of course, we as South Africans, we love our sunny climate, but parents must be able to deal with injuries, you know, associated with outdoor lifestyle. We need to know first aid. It's very important for all parents to know first aid and also know, you know, what to do in case of some kind of insect bite or the other. Now, let's look at insect bites firstly. If your yes, we do have a lot of that happening right now. If it's not mosquitoes, it's bees, and oh, there's just so many, many things out there. Now, if your baby is stung by a bee, for instance, then use the back of a knife or a thin, straight-edged object, like perhaps the back of a bank card, to carefully scrape the stinger from the skin. They say you must never use tweezers or your fingers because you're likely to squeeze the venom. It's a venom sac, and this will release more poison, so you need to be very careful. You know, don't use tweezers to try, because that's what we would do. Oh, there's a you know, you see something in there and you want to pull it out, and you would use a tweezer to do that. And that's not a good idea, because they say the venom sac is still there, and you can actually squeeze the venom sac and this will release more poison. So what you need to do is to wash the site of the sting or the bite with an antiseptic and water, and you just then apply a cold compress to reduce the swelling. Of course, calamine lotion or an antihistamine cream will help to relieve the itching. And it's also important to look out for signs of allergy or infection, such as swelling, increasing redness and pain, and vigorous scratching can cause the skin to become irritated and damaged. This can also lead to infection. And if your child has been stung in the mouth or the throat, or if she's having a severe reaction, then obviously you need to get medical assistance, and they talk about you know, the anaphylactic shock, so be careful about that. That can be life threatening. Yes, you might be wondering, well, how can you actually get a bite or a sting in the mouth or the throat? I know many people have been visiting the zoo and the zoo lake, and I think that's one of the places where there's so many, especially when you're having your little picnic basket with you and you have your drinks and your little bottles or your cans, you know, of cold drinks or juices for that matter. You know, a bee may just go in there and, you know, without you realizing, you may have take a sip, and that's how you could possibly get a bee sting. So be careful of that, and if that happens, you know, you need to actually, if it's a severe reaction, you need to see a doctor immediately or get some kind of medical assistance.
Now, I know many people visited the coast during the holidays. Many of them are back. There are some people going out there. I'm sure there's many people that are just waiting for the holidays to be over so that they can go and have a quieter holiday. And there's still people going out there, maybe, you know, children that are not going to ski, and especially with babies. You know, you may think now this is the nice time to go for a holiday. So blue bottles and jellyfish things. If you do happen to get one of these things from either a blue bottle or a jellyfish, then you need to rinse the skin of the affected area with seawater immediately and cover your hands with a towel and remove the tentacles from the skin. Once the tentacles have been removed, just rinse the area with vinegar. So a good idea is to keep a bottle of vinegar, or, you know, just a small bottle of vinegar with you in the car or in your picnic basket. Apply calamine lotion or an antihistamine cream to relieve the pain and the swelling. But also remember, if there's any allergic reaction, then make sure you get the child or yourself, for that matter, to the doctor or to the casualty immediately. Then we go on to the next problem that may arise during the summertime. It's dehydration. Now, we've, of course, experienced very, very hot weather recently. And alhamdulillah, it's just this week that we're actually having a bit of a cool, you know, slightly cooler weather, mashallah. Now, our very warm, sometimes dry climate can cause a baby to dehydrate, and often much more quickly than you think. Children and babies especially needs to be kept an eye on all the time. Keep offering your child sips of water or juice throughout the day, particularly if you're outdoors and your baby is active. A quick and easy test to see whether your child is dehydrated, this can actually be done as follows. You know, you just need to, it's actually very simple. Just pinch the skin on the top of your baby's hand. If the fold, you know, goes flat immediately, then your baby's fine. But if it takes a while to go down, then your baby surely is dehydrated. And other signs, of course, would include fatigue, sunken eyes, or dark and sunken eyes, strong-smelling urine. In case of dehydration, you need to give your baby oral fluid therapy to help replenish the water and electrolytes that has to be lost. You can go to the chemist and you can get some rehydrate or, you know, anything. Just get to the chemist and they'll be able to give you something immediately. There's also the homemade one where you add a little bit of salt and sugar in, I think it's about 4 teaspoons of sugar and a quarter teaspoon of salt in a liter of water, boiled, cooled water, and you give it to them in sips all the time. They say you should never give your baby sports drinks instead of these electrolyte solutions, as they are not suitable for babies. Be careful, don't ever do that. And then, of course, water safety, and you know, those are some of the injuries that can happen. If you have a swimming pool and in your water area, of course, if you have a swimming pool or you spend a lot of time near the water or at the homes of friends with pools, it is imperative that you are trained in CPR. I think as parents, we just about everybody should know how to be able to do CPR. Hopefully, you will never have to use the skill, but it is worth taking the risk. If your baby does fall into the water and you've had to administer CPR, it's important that you take her to the hospital after any near drowning incident. It's very important because, you know, we've heard about quite a few drownings again. In fact, just last week we heard about the drowning of a 2.5-year-old little baby. It's, you know, I can just imagine what the parents are going through if we as strangers feel so badly about it. So we need to actually be very careful where our little ones are concerned. I know many of us have pools at our homes, but no matter, even if your children can swim, even if your little ones can swim, you need to make sure that your children are constantly supervised.
So when there is open water nearby, make sure that somebody is, an adult is supervising the children at all time. They say pool alarms, nets and fences around pools are also essential to ensure absolute safety. You know, this is something that I found interesting and I would like to share it with our listeners. They say apply the tag rule if there is more than one adult around to keep an eye on the children. This is how it works. If you have been tagged, then you are in charge. If you have been tagged, then you are in charge. If you need to leave the area or you take your eye off the water, then you tag another person, another adult, so that they know that they now are responsible, or rather they are the person in charge now, and they have to be responsible. And be, when you are sing to your children, because sometimes you hear that the adult, the person, the dad was sitting there or the uncle was sitting there. They were sitting there. It happened in a split second. Well, your eyes must be on your children at all times. Allah, forbid something like that ever happens to anybody. And then another one, of course there are many more, but just the last one that I want to share with you is with another injury that can happen, and that is falls. It can be very, very dangerous. If your baby suffers a serious fall, you must take her or him to the hospital immediately. There may be head injuries present that you are not aware of. So please, it's so important. I know the holidays are over, but it is definitely, like I say, still summer. It's very much still summer. Summer, sun and water always goes together. So be sun safe, be water safe at all times, inshallah. We take a break, and when we return, inshallah, we're going to be talking to you about some safety tips and some health tips with regards our children at school. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, it's back to school and we've prepared and we've planned and we've got everything ready for our children, their uniforms, their school bags, their their covers, their kitabs, their Qurans and transport, etc. Everything is arranged for our children. Alhamdulillah. Well, that's what parents normally do. But I hope, inshallah, that they have also planned and, kept in mind the safety of the kids and the health of the kids. Now, I know there isn't much time. I would have loved to have gone through all these, but I would suggest our listeners read the article in one of our local newspapers. It's about back to school and to remember safety and health. There's a lot of things out there that we need to be aware of, take cognizance of. Safety is so important these days, so please make sure that our children are told about all these safety the rules and the regulations with regards strangers, where their safety is concerned, how they should be going to school if perhaps they are walking to school. Make sure that they're not in alone. They never walk alone. They make sure that they are in a group always, that they avoid secluded areas. Staying away from suspicious looking people. I think those are so important, not to show off their valuables. For example, you're not going to be letting them go but with other valuables, but definitely their watches, their cell phones. Our children always go with cell phones these days. Most of them go with cell phones or perhaps their laptops, any electronic device that they have. Make sure that those things are kept out of sight. Also things like the rules of the road. It's so important for our children to know the rules of the road, to avoid anything, any accidents happening. Strangers, not to accept lift, especially our little ones, not to just get into the car with anybody that they think they know and ask them to bring them home. you know, there's so many things in and around the school that our children need to be aware of. Where transport is concerned, we need to make sure that our children know who they are traveling with, and you know, if there's any problems, that it should be they should be able to speak to their parents immediately if something is not okay, to give them the emergency numbers in case of emergency, you know, those contact numbers. They need to have it with them. And of course, one very important one that I think is when children should make absolutely sure that parents know where they are at all times. If they are perhaps staying in after school, they need to inform their parents. Obviously, the school would most probably would do it, but it's also important for children to inform their parents and for parents to make sure they know where their children are, and to inform the relative, you know, the people that need to know where the children are. Where health is concerned, of course, we don't wait till our children get sick for them to be seen to. Where the health is concerned, we need to make sure that they stay healthy, because it's absolutely important for children to be, you know, healthy at all times, stress-free, to be alert at all times. So make sure that we give them good lunches, let them try and lead a balanced lifestyle, you know, by making sure that they rest enough, they sleep enough, they eat proper food, healthy food, they exercise, and you know, we just make sure that they have a good balanced lifestyle. Healthy eating is very important, so what the lunch we give them is just as important. We should you know, talk to them and make sure that children know the dangers about smoking, about drinking, and about taking drugs. They need to be aware of it all, at all times, and talk to your children all the time. I think it's so important. Yes, and of course, where studying is concerned, we need to let them start from day one, help them, advise them. If they have any problems, tell them to start talking about it, you know, immediately, not to wait for it to become a big problem and then want to sort the problem out. Yes, of course, and if you are a victim of bullying, that's another thing that we need to inform our children about. Any other form of abuse at home or school, or struggling to cope mentally, report or seek the help of a trusted person, such as a parent, guardian, counselor, teacher, or principal. And of course, in cases of medical emergency, to make sure that you get the proper help. But it's important for us as parents to discuss these things with our children and make sure that they are aware of it at all times. Well, all I can say is that I'm wishing all our children, inshallah, a very happy school year, inshallah, madrasa year as well. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for all, for the children, for the mothers, for the teachers. May Allah grant our children beneficial knowledge. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. And with that, we come to the end of our program. Inshallah, I will be back on Monday with Socially Speaking. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.